Philippians chapter 2. How many of you can think of somebody in the church and you think, if there's anybody that I consider a Christian, a good example of what a Christian should be, and then you look at that person, you say, that's it. Maybe it's one of the brothers or sisters in the church. You say, if I was going to say that's a Christian, and somebody said, who should I try to be like as a Christian? You say, that one right there, that's the one. Well, of course, we know the goal is not to be like one of us. The point is to be like Christ. And He is the great example. But, you know, that's one thing for us to say about the apostles that walked with Him and that saw those who saw Him in the streets. It's a different thing for us in this time to be able to identify with Christ from what we read and what we know. But we look at others and count them as mentors and examples, and we say, I tell you what, that's a good Christian right there. And so we do identify people like that. Paul did that here in chapter 2, and he pointed out two people. And if you thought of people in Paul's life, who would you point out as a good Christian in Paul's life? Anybody got an example? Timothy? Okay, anybody else? Okay. Aquila, Priscilla, who? Barnabas. Okay. Look at what he says, and we'll just go and look at it real quick. In verse number 19, he says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, or Timothy, shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, but ye know the proof of him, Timothy, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. So as he looks at Timothy, this is what he says. Look, catch this. He said, there's nobody that I know of that thinks like me more than Timothy. So how many of you know somebody that thinks like you do? All right? So we know people that think like we do. And so we trust their judgment to be as the same as ours. You say as good as ours, but the same as ours. So we trust their judgment. We trust their discretion. We trust them to make decisions, make the call, whatever, you know, whatever we would do, we expect that they would do the same thing. That's what Paul says of Timothy. Look at what he says, continuing in verse number 25. He says, I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, fellow soldier, your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Look at what he says in verse 26. He longed after you all. Now, think about your love for the church. The way you love the church, the way you love the ministry, the way you love the Bible, the way you love Jesus. Do you know somebody who loves Jesus and all those things as much as you do, or in the same way that you do? And that's what Paul's saying about Epaphroditus. He says he longed after you all. Y'all heard that he was sick, and he didn't want y'all to feel sorry for him. He didn't want y'all to mourn or weep over him. And so he longed after you. He wanted to hold you and to comfort you and to strengthen you. They were mourning over him, and he wanted to comfort them. You know, their grief was over his sickness. Verse 27, he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So Paul's love for Epaphroditus, he says, look, when God healed his body, boy, that was good for me, because I would have been just broken over the loss of this friend. And we have friends like that. Of course, your spouse is also important to you. And so we're broken when we lose a spouse, and we've experienced that, unfortunately, through the years, in the church. But it breaks us because that's somebody we love so much. But Paul says it would have broken his heart to lose his friend in the ministry, his companion in the ministry, Epaphroditus. Verse 30, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. So Epaphroditus, he says, he gave his all. I mean, this is somebody who was sick. He ran himself till he was just incapable of doing anything. He didn't let a little sickness hold him back from getting the job done. He was so committed to ministry. And Paul recognizes that. That Epaphroditus, even when he was on his deathbed, Paul says, he just wouldn't quit his concern and his interest and his effort toward the church. And you think about people who don't have interest in the church. They don't care about the church. It's not important to them. But for Paul, he points out two people, and he says, now, if there was any example I could hold up to you, it would be these two. Now, let's go back to verse 1. You thought you were going to get off easy, didn't you? If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Okay, like-minded like what? Is he telling us that we should think the same way? That Brother Andy should think like Brother Leroy, who should think like Brother Bill? Okay, well, Brother Bobby. Surely Paul would never say that. But just, is he saying that we should all have the same mind? Well, in a sense, that's what he's saying. But understand what he's saying is, guys, I wish you had the same mind that I do. Have you ever tried to teach somebody something and it was so hard to teach them, you just wish you could take your brain out and give it to them? How many of you ever gave somebody a piece of your mind? So we just, I know in my life, I wish sometimes that people could see it through my eyes and feel it with my heart and understand it with my mind. And I know that Paul many times was questioned on his reasons for doing things. Guys, the truth is, if you are going to do stuff in life, somebody's going to question your motives. But if they could sense your spirit, your heart, your love, your perception, then there would be no question, hopefully, of why you do the things you do. Of the ministry, of your heart for ministry, of your heart for people. Why would you do such a thing? Why would you do it that way? But if they could know your heart, if they could know your mind, and Paul's saying, I wish you all had the same mindset that I do. I wish every one of you could see things the way I see things. Now, they didn't have the same experience, did they? You see, my experience and your experience are different. We're going to see things differently. I get up here and preach, and really each one of us hears what we hear, and it may not be what I said. Do you know that's true? I've had people get mad with me and say, well, you said such and such. I mean mad. And I say, what is it? And I even now, of course, we record everything so I can go back and listen. And I can try to figure out what was it that upset them. And I can go back and listen. But see, they're not hearing it the way I'm saying it because our experiences are different. And so I'm coming from my experience of this, and they're hearing it from their experience. By the way, the Holy Spirit is translating that into what they need, into their ministries and their burdens and their lives and what they're going through right now. And so sometimes we're hearing things that are not being said. But maybe that's because the Holy Ghost wanted us to hear it that way. And rather than get sideways with the preacher, maybe what we ought to do is get alone with God and work it out. And I'm not saying you should never be mad at the preacher. I think it's healthy to be mad at the preacher sometimes. And so that's why I think you ought to listen. But he says not only having the same mind, but he said having the same love. Let me ask you a question. What would the church be like if everybody loved the church the way you love the church? Now, what would it be like if everybody loved being at church the way you love being at church? Now, for some that say, well, I like going, I just don't like going every time the doors are open. But what if everybody loved it the way you love it? What if everybody cared as much about it as you do? And our church, I'm so impressed. It really does touch my heart to see how we love each other, how the church cares about each other. Sister Charlotte contacted me yesterday, and she said, I just want you to know my phone's messed up again. And she says, people will call you to find out how I'm doing, so now you know. She said, I'm fine, but my phone doesn't work. And she's right. When her phone first messed up, I was getting phone calls and questions. Where? How is she? Is she okay? And I say, she's fine. Well, she doesn't answer her phone. I said, because her phone doesn't work. Right? That's why she doesn't answer. But the church, you love each other. That's how it should be. We ought to love one another within the church. And we ought to love, see, because the church, by the way, I appreciate that you love the grounds and you love the buildings and you take care of things and care about things. But those are buildings. The church is the people. We are the church. And so he says, have the same mindset, be like-minded, have the same love, and being of one accord. Being of one accord. I mean, getting along. Isn't that great? Isn't it wonderful to be able to go to church and not have to worry about fighting? Isn't it wonderful to go to church and not have to worry that you might see so-and-so there? Because there have been times, I'm sure, in your life maybe, where you go to church and you thought, well, I hope so-and-so's not there. It'll be a better experience if they're not there. That's awful, isn't it? But you know, some people come to church and they want to start trouble. And Paul's desire for the church of Philippi, and let me say this, the church of Philippi was having trouble. They had some conflicts in the church. They were not getting along. I've never been in a church service where the police were called to the church service. But I have been to a business meeting where following the business meeting, the pastor of the church told me that he had already contacted the police department and had them standing by in case he needed them. And I have belonged to a church, even though I was too young at the time, where the police were called to the church over a business meeting. Shouldn't be that way. Even when we disagree, we ought to be able to discuss it. We ought to be able to talk about it. You know, we ought to be able to talk about things and be completely opposite in our opinions and still be able to be civil about it and not be hateful, not call names, and not even get mad. Just be different. How many of you know somebody you don't agree with, but you get along with them? I know lots of people like that. And I keep them in my life intentionally because I don't want to put myself in a bubble where it's an echo chamber where the only opinion I hear is my opinion coming back. I need to hear conflicting opinions. I need to hear people with their crazy ideas. You know? I mean, it's like it has to be where we can have discussions because opposite opinions ought to challenge us to question our opinions. But Paul said, when it comes to the church, he said, my desire is that you'd be like-minded and that you'd be in one accord. That you would understand when you came to church what it was all about. Why do we go to church? Well, we go to church because we want to grow in Christ. We want to learn the Word of God. We want to be recharged, re-energized, refreshed in our mission. What is our mission as a church? Well, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Get them saved. Show them the gospel. Show them the way of Christ. And then get them to make a commitment to Christ and then baptize them and teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's our purpose here. That's our mission. Everything we do ought to point back to that singular idea. To be like-minded, one accord, of one mind, he says finally in verse number 2. Verse number 3, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Have you ever done something just to get even? Don't raise your hand. Have you ever done something just to show? I'm going to show them. I can do it. I'll show them I can do it. Paul says, don't do it through strife. Let nothing be done through strife or for vainglory. What's that mean? So that everybody will see, hey, look what he did. If that's the reason you do it, just don't do it. Just let it go undone. And then he brings it back. We talked about Timothy, Epaphroditus. We talked about the conflict in the church, Paul's desire that everybody would have the same understanding, the perception, love, mindset as he does. And now he brings it to us and he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What does that mean? It means that I ought to protect your feelings as much as I protect mine. It means that I ought to look out for your interests as much as I look out for mine. It means that I don't want anybody to take advantage of you, and I expect you to have my back also. That's what that means. Have each other's backs. If we go back and look at what he says in verse 3, he says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let me ask you this. If I think you're smarter than I am I going to value your opinion more than mine? If I think you care about me, am I going to be interested in what you have to say, even when it's in disagreement to me? When you say, Brother Derek, I'm concerned about such and such. Now, if I believe that you're concerned about me, that's going to make a difference. But if I believe that you're coming in on an attack, then I'm not going to listen to what you have to say, right? And the same thing for the pastor. If we don't believe that the pastor has our back, we're not really going to care what he has to say. And so, you know, he says one accord. He's talking about everybody in the church having each other's back, being concerned about each other, looking out for each other, protecting one another. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Look, we should all be thinking the same. Timothy thinks the same way I do. Epaphroditus loves you the way I do. But he says, I want you all to think the same way and have the same love. And then he says, look, Jesus, and look right there in verse 5, let's have the same mindset that Jesus does. What mindset is that? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was a supreme example of humility and servanthood, service. And we know Jesus is the head of the church, and yet he's the one that served us the greatest. They argued at the table who should be the greatest, and Jesus said, look here, whoever serves the others the most, that's who's the greatest. He washed their feet. The night of the Last Supper, the Passover, he washed their dirty feet. And Peter was ashamed of his feet. He didn't want Jesus washing his feet. He said, I have no part of this. And Jesus says, you'll either let me wash your feet or you'll have no part with me. Peter said, okay, go ahead. Wash my feet. In fact, you wash me all over. He says, I don't want to lose my part. I don't want to lose my relationship. But Jesus humbled himself all the way to the cross. Why? For us, for our sin. Those who were sinful and wicked the day we got saved, and though we've made some improvements in our walk with Christ, the truth is we still qualify sinful and wicked. Maybe not by what we do, but by the things we think and maybe the things we say. Now, I would hope after the years of serving God that maybe we would reach some point where we don't have wicked thoughts anymore, where we don't get upset and angry, where we don't have those feelings. But the truth is, we're still working, aren't we? Still working on it. In fact, he says over here in verse number 12, he said, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He says, guys, we're working it out. But I've got to work on me and you've got to work on you. We've got to grow into it. You know, this picture of salvation that he's washed all my sins away and made me perfect. When I stand before God in judgment, perfect, it's not because of what I've done. It's because of what he's done. But we ought to be gradually working our way into that. Let's read verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's our confession, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Look at what he's done. Changed our lives, given us instruction, given us ministers that can encourage us and teach us and help us in our journey as we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, trying to be what God's called us to be. Verse 13, it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he says in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. No criticism, no complaints, no debates. Just serving God. That you may be, verse 15, harmless, blameless, harmless sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So how well do we blend in? Or are we bright lights in a dark world? Do people see us and say, you know, there's something different about him. There's something different about her. There's a joy, there's a love, there's a hope and a peace. And then look at this next one. Holding forth the word of life. See? Giving them hope. Showing them the way of salvation. That's what we're supposed to do. That I, Paul says, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So Paul looks at his life and he sees this church where there's conflict and disagreement, debate, strife and pride. He says, guys, we're supposed to be like Jesus. And that means humbling ourselves, putting others first, highly esteeming them, thinking that, look, looking at them as being wiser, smarter, better than we are, looking up to them. Is that the way we look at one another? It should be. Respect, regard. Paul says, I feel like some of the work I've done at this point with all the squabbling in the church, Paul says, I'm afraid I've wasted my time. Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful? So he says, get your minds right, get your hearts right, get your attitude right. And let's hold forth the word of life, because the world needs a church that's in one accord, that has one mission. Why is that church up there? Oh boy, they preach the gospel. They're there to hold forth the word of life. They want to shine in a dark world. They want people to know Jesus. Why is that church up there? Just to make the preacher rich. Just so they can show off their cars and their suits and their hats. Nobody wearing a hat in here tonight. Just to show off. Just so they can show off, Patty. Guys, that, don't you love our church? We got a great church. And I don't think anybody comes in here to show off. We come in here to reset, refresh, revive, and go out there and make a difference. Because there's a world out there that's going to hell if we don't show them the way of salvation. Let's stand. Father, we are so grateful for the lesson tonight. Yet we look at what happened in Philippi and we see there was trouble. There was conflict in the church. While we would never think that conflict would have benefits, it has benefited us tonight as we look at our church, and we're grateful for the harmony that we have, for the love, the ministry one toward another. We pray that you will continue to work through us, build through us, that souls will be saved and that lives will be changed. Dismiss us now with your grace. Answer the prayers that are in our hearts and show us our part. In Jesus' name, amen.